Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're talking surge pricing for beer, majors over pedigree, and the death of privacy.
That's right, man. This is our Friday flight, and we're going to cover the top stories from this week and how they pertain to your personal finances. But first, we want to make sure that we highlight the fact that How to Money is going down in real life. It's HTM IRL.
Not in the metaverse.
Not in the metaverse. You want to share with folks the details on where it is they can grab a beer with us?
So if you're hearing...
Today.
Yeah, tonight. If you're listening to this and you're somewhere in the Southeast United States... Within a six-hour drive, you can make it to Inner Voice Brewing in Decatur, just outside of Atlanta. Matt, you and I were trekking down back in the city for this hang because Inner Voice has some of the best IPAs around. And we want to see, we've only had
like a couple of their beers, but they were so good. We're like, we've got to hit this place up in person. So it's kind of an excuse for us to have some awesome beers. But what better way to enjoy those beers than in the company of other fellow money nerds?
That's right. And so we'll be there from 4 to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. So come on down. We'll buy your first beer. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They have some of the best pizza actually on tap as well. So Glide Pizza is delicious.
When you say pizza on tap, it makes it seem like that you can just drink it.
I wish.
But that is not how you consume this pizza. But yeah, we do hope to see you there. This isn't an actual story, Joel, but the iPhone was released earlier this week.
I saw that.
I feel like we got to talk about that.
The titanium $1,200. It just seems exorbitant. And again, we've talked about just the incremental increases in technology, if they feel like minimal upgrades. And then obviously they went to USB-C because they were kind of forced to do that by the European Union. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, being Apple, doing what they do, they create a $29 dongle to adapt your Lightning cable to this new USB-C.
This is exactly like what Apple would do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like they've been doing this since the beginning, but I think
you could probably get one on Amazon for like $4.99.
You know? Yeah, you could probably get like 10 of them for $20.
Right.
Because, like, you could just get it. They'll be shipped from some warehouse in China, and then you can hand them out to your friends as well.
But they might not have the Apple logo on the matter.
They won't. But here's my take. I'm still an Apple fanboy, but I just don't see what compels folks to go out and get the newest one when you do have these incremental upgrades. Because like back in the day, there were massive... Well, first of all, they can't replicate the spectacle that was the original iPhone unveiling, right? Like when you've set the bar that high, it's... I think folks are coming back for that same
wow.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of it honestly has to do with consumers and media needing to kind of like cool your jets a little bit, like temper your expectations as to what is going to be coming down the pike. Because yes, it's a perfectly fine phone, but I don't think folks are going to be blown away like they have.
Those releases,
in the
past. They used to be like the technology equivalent of the Super Bowl.
They were.
Yeah.
They literally were. I used
New
to
York
watch
Times,
them.
Everybody
back in the
was
day.
Like live blogging and live
it was,
tweeting.
It was
and
amazing.
Stuff.
Yeah. Like the things that they were unveiling early on. We're huge, honestly. So it kind of
and it's just kind of tough to keep up, right? Like at
yes,
some point,
you can't maintain that. Yeah. And I guess that's again why I don't understand why folks are looking at the new one, because it's like it's not that much better. It makes me think. I feel like a parallel might be cars, because every year they come out with a new version mm-hmm. of the same car. Is it that much better than the last year's version? Not really. It's just like with the phones.
Yep.
There's some new colors, a couple new features, but it's not enough, I think, for most folks who are trying to be smart with their money, to go out of their way in order to buy this new thing as opposed to buying a model that's used, or at least last year's yep. model, where it's already taken a massive price cut.
Like, agreed. Like by the way, you mentioned cars. We're actually going to talk about another reason not to buy new cars. Not just the price tag, but there's actually... So you might be getting into something that invades your privacy, so we'll talk
about
that.
That's true. Yeah. Bottom line, just get yourself an old, used iPhone. I've got a 13. You've got the fancy 14, which was the newest one for all of 2 months.
I'm still not...
You got an awesome deal,
I'm
though.
Still not sold, though. I still miss my Android, and I'm not sure what to do. I feel like I'm over here in like the middle of the road lane. Nah, I miss my Pixel. It's good, but I miss the Pixel.
All right,
let's get on to the Friday flight, a sampling of stories we found interesting this week, and let's start with inflation. It certainly looked like inflation was being tamed by the Federal Reserve via sustained interest rate hikes,
mm-hmm.
but new inflation numbers came out on Wednesday, and it looks like it's still too early to declare victory. The main culprit, as anyone listening in California knows, is gas prices. I saw someone post the other day, Matt, like gas prices are north of $6 a gallon there. It's frightening.
That's insane.
Enough to make anybody go EV, right? But so gas prices went up to the tune of double digits in a single month, which was a large part of kind of this bump in inflation. And so it even prompted actually our governor here in Georgia to eliminate the state gas tax for the next month.
Woohoo.
Yeah, I guess, right? Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
But insurance increases are another one of the major culprits. So what's the Fed going to do here? Well, energy prices are incredibly volatile. The Fed isn't looking at just the headline inflation number. They're looking at what's causing those price increases and how sticky those categories are. And so, you know, these gas price increases, although they're tough to stomach from a consumer standpoint, they're not necessarily a sign that inflation has not been tamed. So just because you see the headline inflation number go up, don't be surprised if the Fed holds rates steady and waits for more data.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking, we were just kind of talking about used cars, or I mentioned that in parallel with like the new phones, whatever. I did see in the data that the price of used cars and used trucks dropped. It has been dropping since last year, but it dropped pretty significantly from last month. It's down 1%, and it's down a full 7% from this time last year.
That's great.
That's great news. 100%. So even though you might be paying more for gas, maybe
less for the car.
Yeah, you've been holding out, trying to not buy a car while prices are at all-time highs. But now you can maybe, there's like a collective sigh of relief for all those who've kind of been making do as their car's been limping along, slapping some duct tape on it or whatever to keep it to work. But as prices are rising, surge pricing is all the rage in order to keep supply and demand in balance. But surge pricing for beer? Yeah, that's right. It's actually happening, at least across the pond over in the UK. Prices are apparently going to increase on beers at pubs, and specifically pubs that are owned by the Stonegate Group.
They own like something like 800 pubs. So they're like, all right, listen, this price increases during the busiest times at the pub.
That's right. Yeah. So chances are, if you've been to a pub in the UK, you probably have been to a Stonegate pub or one that they own. We love beer and would prefer for our favorite IPAs, our favorite barrel-aged sours, to be less expensive. But surge pricing, it has been the norm in other industries, and we actually don't bat an eyelash. Like, I don't mind this all that much. Like, you've seen this in the airline industry, you've seen it with hotels, concert tickets, Uber rides. They have all implemented similar pricing strategies. Even restaurants, that's pretty dang close to pubs as far as like the industry goes, but they often they serve like the same meals, the same dish, at launch for a reduced price in order to get people in the door as mm-hmm. well. And so the fact that this is crossing over a little bit into our world, the world of beer, it honestly doesn't bother us all that much.
Yeah, the same burger and fries can be $13 at lunch and $17 at dinner. And we're just like, okay, cool. That's just the way it,
we've
the way it goes.
That, yeah. But yeah, all of a sudden. And I think
people, like beer pub goers in,
I think it has to do with
the UK are not happy.
Yes, it's kind of
it's a cultural institution.
The culture around it. And so I get more of the pushback there. But I would not be surprised if we see that even here stateside.
Yeah. All right. The one potentially fatal flaw here, though, to me, is really just a marketing mistake, right? Like, surge pricing is going to piss people off if you implement it the wrong way. And like AMC, they just walk back their effort to charge more for nicer seats because people are like, hey, that's not cool. The better approach in this case is the carrot approach instead of the stick approach, right? So my suggestion to the Stonegate Group would be to offer discounts for grabbing a pint at less busy times of day.
Joel is now open for consulting.
That's right.
Heads up.
And I'm giving this lesson for free right here, okay? You don't even have to pay. It's on the house. And I would just say charging full price, right? Even if that full price goes up a little bit at other times, that's a good way to do it. And then discounting the beer at other times of day. Like, people love happy hour because they're getting a discount. And so
exactly.
It's a psychological thing. It makes sense that prices would increase a bit at the busiest time of day, but this pub conglomerate, they just did a bad job implementing those price changes. There's a better way to do it instead of being like, we're going to charge you extra. We're going to smack you in the face when you try to order a beer at from 5 to 8 or whatever when the pub is busy. Go the opposite route and offer people discounts. People will be thrilled.
Yeah, that's the the glass half full approach as opposed to focusing on the negative.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and what this means for individuals, like, the reason this doesn't bother us is because it's just the concept of supply and demand at work. And what this means is, just like when it comes to travel and booking airfare, look at going when other people aren't going,
yeah.
Right? And so the
shoulder season.
This doesn't mean that you need to show up to the pub at 10 in the morning. That's probably not healthy. But consider some of the other times. Anytime you can zig while other folks are zagging, like, that's when you're going to see the most benefit. And nobody is forcing you. It's not like this is some inalienable right to that you should have access to beer.
Sure. But, and think about how bad it would get really quickly if the airline prices were the same, no matter what time of day the flight was taken off, no matter what time of year it was happening. If the flights on December 23rd cost the same as a flight February 11th, that Christmas travel, like, they have to be able to price it. They're going to lose money at other times of the year in order to make money on the busiest times.
Even out that demand a little bit. Yeah, I think it makes sense. Let's talk about higher education, because it turns out most Americans have lost faith in the value of college. Specifically, 56% of Americans say that getting a college degree is not worth it. And Gen Z, not surprising, they're more disillusioned with the prospect of college as starting salaries remain stagnant, as the college ticket price has been rising. And this brings up the question, is college actually worth it? And we think it is if you choose your school and if you choose your major wisely. We don't want you to go overboard with debt. If that's the approach that you take, we think that it still makes sense for a lot of folks. Obviously, it's not for everyone out there, but it can still be incredibly valuable. The Journal, they just released their Best Colleges in America rankings last week. And to their credit, they focus specifically on whether or not colleges actually help students graduate on time, right? And so where is are our incentives aligned here? Like, do you mm-hmm. have a vested interest in an ability to get a student through, as opposed to being like, yeah, go ahead and enroll.
Come on back for year 7.
Hey, check out all these keggers going on. Don't you want to just waste an extra couple years while at the same time you're contributing to the economy of our town and paying tuition all at the same time?
Why not stay put for the better part of a decade? It's nice here.
Exactly. But they're taking that into account with this study, within these rankings. They're taking into account how much that education translates into higher income upon graduation as well. Those are the two of the most important metrics, because fewer years trying to get your degree, that's going to typically mean less money spent overall. And the value of college, it's also proven by how education translates into real world income. Does that actual degree give you a chance to succeed, or is it just a fancy piece of paper? It's they're focusing on outcomes as opposed to just like we mentioned at the top of the episode, the title of this episode, the pedigree.
Before college prices went berserk, especially kind of in that upper echelon sector, it made sense to rank colleges based on kind of some other metrics, I think. But now these are like the two most important metrics, right, for most people to know before they choose where they're going to go to school.
Yeah, and we love it. Like, I can quickly see this very much outpacing the U.S. World News Report college rankings, which is just like completely arbitrary.
Yes. It seemed like that maybe was bought and paid for in some ways, too.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Well, and the stats show that getting a college degree still lead to significantly higher lifetime earnings. But your major actually matters more than where you choose to go to school, which should give high schoolers the confidence to opt for the less expensive route, the less expensive school, which often improves the ROI of that degree. So if you're getting
which
the same
is what
degree,
it's all about.
Yeah, nobody cares, especially after you get that first job. Nobody cares where you went to school. It doesn't really matter as long as you have the degree in the subject that matters and the work ethic and the ability that go along with it, right?
Totally. Yeah, and by the way, if you are, maybe you're not a fan of the journal, the same data is being, I don't know how long it's been collected by the Department of Education, but we've mentioned this on the show before, but the Department of Education, they have a college scorecard and you can enter in specific schools, you can enter in specific degrees, and you can see what the likely earnings are upon graduation. We'll make sure to link to that in the show notes.
It's just so helpful. There's when you're talking about value, knowing what the return on that investment, it's a big time and money investment to go to school. So knowing what the likely return on investment is going to be is just really important before you embark on that journey. Just like everything else in life, value comes down to how much the thing costs, how much it takes from you, and then how much it gives. And the headline price, yes, of college has gone up significantly. But financial aid has also increased significantly, too. We talked about that in episode 655, I think it was, with Ann Garcia. Mm-hmm. And so for just like how to get the college degree for a whole lot less and how to make sure that you're getting the best bang for your buck. So I would encourage you to check that one out. And actually, next week, we're going to talk about debt-free degrees with our friend Jason Brown, who got two debt-free degrees. And that's going to be a fun conversation and just really hopefully help push people in the at least thinking along the lines of being able to get a higher education degree, being able to go to college without maybe even taking on any debt at all, which really puts you in the catbird seat, right? If you've got the education that translates to higher earnings without having any sort of debt load to go along with it.
Yeah. For parents out there, one of the ways you can help your kids to achieve debt-free degrees, so 529 plans, we talk about them all the time, but evidently contributions to 529 plans are drastically rising compared to last year. And it makes sense. There's a lot more flexibility that's involved with those. If, were you to not use that for higher education, the ability to transfer, to roll that into a Roth IRA is huge. We love them as long as you are taking care of your own investing for your own retirement first.
That's right.
But one of the interesting things in that story was that they're highlighting the fact that one of the reasons that folks are contributing more this year compared to last year by a significant amount is because the stock market is up this year, which is crazy because that just highlights how terrible we are as investors and how we invest based on our feelings as opposed to knowing that, oh, yeah, at some point this is going to go up.
Uh-huh.
People are investing more because they feel richer because the market is up and they think that is going to continue.
The exact opposite.
It's the exact opposite of
as
how
we
you,
know is true.
As opposed to had you dumped a bunch of money in last year while the market was down, you'd be looking at like 15 to 20, 25% returns depending on whenever you stuck that money into a 529.
Your kid would have more money in that account just by the fact of the stock market doing well because you put it in at a down period.
Exactly. So if that's something you want to prioritize, I love it. But just like we often recommend for folks, dollar cost average, make that just a part of your investing plan. Don't look at the headlines. Try to ignore how it is that you feel based on the performance of the stock market.
Yeah. All right, Matt, we got to get to more stories. We got to talk about adjustable rate mortgages. Do those make sense? And also the privacy problem with new cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's massive. We'll talk about that and more right after this. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com. kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. And now a word from the show sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
All right, we are back, and we will get to whether or not adjustable rate mortgages make sense today. But first,
we got to finish up because we got some beer to drink with listeners in just a minute.
Depending on when you're listening to this, maybe we already had those beers. Yeah. Hopefully, that's not the case. But we've got our ludicrous headline of the week, and this week's is from Consumer Reports. The headline reads: car insurance quote comparison websites save you time, but watch for privacy pitfalls. And wanted to highlight this one because we all know that comparison shopping is a frugal person's best friend. Why pay more than you need to if you have the time to be able to shop around? And truly, the more expensive an item or a service is, the more helpful it can be to dig to find a better price.
Yeah, my dad recently got a Groupon to take one of my kiddos to the jumpy place, whatever, the trampoline park.
Nice.
And it's great.
The green and blue one or the black and red one?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know which one.
That's how we talk about it. Okay. There's two of them near us and that's their color scheme.
Yeah, I don't remember which one he took him to, but whatever one had a Groupon, right? And which is great. You save 12, 15 bucks, whatever it is, and then you also realize that Groupon still exists, right? I mean, I kind of forget about Groupon most of the time now. But
you remember Scout Mob?
Oh, yeah. Scout Mob was awesome for a hot minute, right? But yeah, that is a small way to save. But when you can shop around and save on recurring bigger monthly or annual bills, like we're talking about clawing big bucks back into your life. So no shame in the game of the Groupon. That's great. But just don't screw it up and only do the small stuff and not take advantage of the big ones. And we totally want people to get multiple quotes for those big expensive things, right? Shopping around for insurance every year or two is really important because the discrepancies between different providers can be massive. But as Consumer Reports found out in this article, aggregator sites can help you do the shopping, but they might not do it quite as well as they promise, right? And so know that if you use these sites, you might not get the transparent pricing information you're looking for. It's nice to have aggregators help you do some of that shopping so that you don't have to like reach out to 50 different companies on your own. But this Consumer Reports article was eye-opening because it basically showed that you're not necessarily getting the best price with them. You might get a better rate reaching out to these insurance companies directly.
That's right. Yeah, some insurance companies like State Farm and Farmers Insurance, they don't participate at all because only agents who work directly for them are allowed to write policies. So keep that in mind when you go to some of these aggregator sites. They're leaving out certain companies. It's kind of like how Southwest, how they don't publish their rates on Google Flights. So it's just important to note that you're likely to get an inflated rate quote when you shop on some of these sites like The Zebra or Way.com. Sometimes it'll be more expensive by just a few bucks, but other times you might get a quote for hundreds of dollars more than what you would have paid had you gone directly to the insurance company itself. And some of the crappier sites are just lead generation magnets. This is where the privacy part of the story kicks in. They get your information, they turn it over to insurance companies who then hound you via phone and email. I get like it's just a part of, like, I guess, living life now. I don't know. My phone number is kind of everywhere, like on our different businesses and stuff like that. So, like, literally, I get sometimes three, but sometimes like six or seven business voicemails, and it's the same chick. what is it? Lately, it's been Mary or something like, hey, it's Mary. It's ridiculous. They all come from different numbers. And so
I hope Mary comes to get beers with us tonight.
she will not.
Yeah, well, I get it for, you know, someone, can we buy your house? I mean, I get a million of those phone calls, it feels like, every day. It's so frustrating to get on those lists, and it's hard to get off. And so that's really what Consumer Reports is pointing out here.
It's incredibly annoying. Yeah, so they actually interviewed a lawyer who works in the lead gen industry who said that consumers could get hundreds or even thousands of calls in the coming years just from a single submission for some quotes. And that's even if you are on the federal do not call list. And so it feels like we're between a rock and a hard place. We do want folks, we do want you out there to shop around, because you could save a ton of money. But maybe consider a local independent agent. They might likely be your best bet. An aggregator site might help, but make sure to add any independent agents into the mix, and maybe try getting a quote directly from one of the insurers who doesn't work with independent agents as well. It's not quite as easy as it would be to shop and save, but the savings could be substantial. So we want you to shop anyway, and hopefully the technology that allows them to spam us as much as they do, that technology will increase in tandem, and we'll be able to block those. Obviously, you know, you block unknown numbers, right? Yeah. Like, you've got that selected on the iPhone?
I probably should. No, maybe that's why I'm getting so many of these.
Oh, yeah. Settings, phone, and there's a little toggle that says block unknown callers. So any number that comes in and you're kind of out of the whole insurance wrestling, you know, with your home and car and whatnot. So you don't need to hear from anybody if you don't know them. And if you do need to hear from them, they'll just leave a voicemail.
They'll leave a message.
And you can call them back.
That's right. Yeah. Good to know. All right, let's keep talking about privacy, Matt, because speaking of an invasion of privacy, it kind of feels like privacy is dead. Like, a lot of our information is out there. The Equifax breach of 2017 kind of fully cemented that in a lot of our brains, where something like 150 million Americans had a lot of their information just kind of go out there into the ether. Some of that is our own doing, though, as well, right? The things that we share publicly about our lives that the whole world can see, social media and TikTok and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Every time
you
TikTok your tax returns,
that's right,
like, you always get this huge rush of scam calls.
That's right. Why does that happen? I don't know. But there's also been a fair amount of intrusion into spaces that we thought were off limits. And the Mozilla Foundation, the folks who make the Firefox browser that fewer and fewer people use, they dropped a bombshell report this week showing that the one place that you likely thought was off limits isn't. Your car, yes, as it turns out, is spying on you, at least if you have a newer one. So Mozilla, they looked at the privacy policies of 25 car manufacturers, and it turns out they are all collecting data on you via the technology that comes standard on a whole lot of car models, because there's more and more tech in these cars now, right? There's microphones and cameras and screens and all that stuff. And they specifically found that 56% of these manufacturers will share that data that they're collecting with law enforcement in response to just an informal request, not even some sort of subpoena. None of that stuff. And 84% will share or sell personal data that they gather on you too. So your newer model car, as it turns out, is a privacy nightmare.
Yeah, and so all 25 car companies that they researched, they all basically failed. But that being said, Nissan's policy actually stood out as being the absolute worst. It turns out that they can collect and share your sexual activity. Not totally sure how that comes into play.
Yeah, I know, right?
I have no idea, but they can share that. They share and sell your health diagnosis data, genetic information, alongside other sensitive personal info for targeted marketing. I don't know how the heck there's some, and maybe this is just written into their policy to where it's just like, not sure exactly how we're going to get your genetic information, but when we do, we're going to sell it.
Right.
But Nissan, they also disclose that they're going to share and sell, and this, I'm going to just read this quote, inferences drawn from any personal data collected to create a profile about a consumer reflecting the consumer's preferences, their characteristics, psychological trends, predispositions, behavior, attitudes, intelligence, abilities, and aptitudes to others for targeted marketing purposes.
So creepy.
Inferences drawn based on the actual data.
They're creating a dossier profile on you, basically.
And potentially even just making stuff up, which is insane. Like, yeah, I just didn't know that we needed to dig through a privacy policy before buying a new car. But the problem is all the companies failed. So even if you did dig through it, it's not like there is some sort of alternative.
Right.
And so,
well, except for driving an older car.
Well, that's certainly one tick, like on the side of owning an older car. But at some point, the old, like the new cars that we have, are going to turn into old cars, and sure. So we can avoid it for the time being. But luckily, I mean, so Mozilla, they are a nonprofit, and they're all about the internet remaining a place for good for the public. And they actually have, there's a petition that you can sign, and so. Yes, we are all about folks driving old vehicles, not only because they're more affordable, but because of the privacy concerns. But at some point, we're going to run out of runway. And we're going to be faced with the same concerns, even if it's in a car that's been around for 10 years.
Well, I'm hoping that a report
we'll link to that in the show notes. Yes. Where does that folks can sign? Because it needs to be more an issue. And the fact is, people aren't. They're just not digging into it. It's not something that folks are aware of.
Just like the terms of service. Like, who really scrolls through and reads it every time? If you did,
Mozilla,
you'd never actually download an app. Fortunately, there are nonprofit orgs out there like Mozilla doing their due diligence, doing the research for us as consumers. And I just hope that when this information gets brought to light, that it holds the car manufacturer's feet to the fire.
Yep.
And that they say, oh, we didn't think we were going to get caught. We didn't think anybody read that stuff. But now that they know there's a cop on the beat to a certain extent, maybe they'll reform their ways. Maybe Nissan will say, hey, listen, we're not going to collect any of this stuff. And the small amounts of data that we do collect, we're going to, you know, we're going to make sure we don't sell it and make any money off it.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm curious to see how they respond.
Or if they just ramp up their info selling side hustle.
Right. Right. Or if they like discount the price of the car because, you know, they're making so much money on your data that they can sell you a car for like 15 grand. Who knows?
Maybe.
But all right, let's talk about mortgages for a second. Should you get a fixed rate or an adjustable rate mortgage? That's kind of a big personal finance conundrum for a lot of people. And a whole lot of people in this space will tout the 15 or 30 year mortgage with the fervor of a religious zealot. Some people don't even like the 30 year mortgage. Like, no way. That's the only
Are
thing
you an idiot?
The only thing you should even consider is the 15 because you got to pay off your debt as quickly as possible. Well, when rates were crazy low, like in the twos and threes, we liked the idea of locking in a rate for decades to come.
Oh, yeah.
The 30 year mortgage looked really appealing, right? In those years. But as rates have risen, it started to, in some cases, make sense to opt for an ARM. And I say in some cases because so much depends on how long you're likely to be in that home, how long the rate stays fixed for in the ARM, right? Is it a 5-1 ARM or is it a 10-1 ARM or is it a 10-6 ARM, that kind of thing. And so that 10-1 ARM, for instance, provides 10 years of a much lower rate. Oftentimes, I took out an ARM actually last summer when we bought the house, a 10-1 ARM, because the rate difference was so significant. But it looks like that gap is shrinking according to new data from Bankrate. ARMs are no longer offering such an appealing spread, which is making fixed rate mortgages look superior again. So ARMs, they were kind of winning there last year for a little while, not so much right now.
Yeah, but do shop around because the fact is there could be a difference. It depends on so many different factors. I'll say one of the reasons that I think fixed rates were so stinking popular is because people, and I feel this to a certain extent myself, but there's a permanence that comes with that. Like, yeah. You know that, like, I never have to worry about this thing ever again. But the more, I guess the longer we've been in personal finance, the more I think I've realized that proposition is overvalued because we move more often than we think.
Yep.
I looked this up. The U.S. Census Bureau found that the average American moves once every 5 years. And so you're saying to yourself, all right, yeah, for the next 30 years, I'm going to be here and I don't have to worry about my rate going up. Well, chances are, I mean, 5 years is much, much less time than an actual 30 years.
Yes.
And so the reality is that don't think about avoiding an ARM because you're afraid of what it's going to reset to. Certainly keep that in mind, I guess. But if you are able to get a significantly lower rate by going with an ARM, I wouldn't be too concerned thinking that, well, in 10 years from now, that thing's going to reset to a higher rate. Chances are, based on the data, that you are probably going to be
in a
different house.
Yeah,
by that point. And if it matters, just consider that, I guess.
Yeah.
Because the younger you are, the more likely you are to move. And the older you are, the more you put down roots and you tend not to move as much. It depends on a lot of things.
Well, it's important to note that not all ARMs are created equal, right? A 5-1 ARM and a 10-1 ARM are different. Like if last summer I had been offered a 5-1 ARM, it would have drastically changed the way I thought about it. But I was like, 10 years locked in at a point and a half lower? That's a no-brainer. And mm-hmm. hopefully over the next decade, I will have saved up enough to where I can pay off the rest of the balance in the worst case scenario that rates skyrocket. They're much higher than I thought.
Yeah. Okay. So by the way, one of the main things that's led to the housing market basically seizing up is a lot of folks who have a locked in low rate for decades to come. Even if they would like to move, it's like these incredibly low rates are acting like a set of golden handcuffs, keeping folks in a home that they would otherwise probably would have considered leaving. But assumable mortgages, they would be a great answer to greasing the wheels. They're popular in the commercial real estate world, but not so much on the consumer side of things. But one startup, they launched this past week, but they're trying to make that a reality. It's a company called Roam, and apparently 1 in 5, like a little over 20% of mortgages, have some sort of assumable mortgage clause written into the language of that mortgage. And wouldn't you pay more for a house in order to snag that owner's 3% rate?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So will this company actually get traction? Who knows? They've got a few things assumable mortgages in general have a few things going against them. Like the lenders, they don't make nearly as much money by transferring that mortgage as opposed to underwriting an entirely new one.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. The other thing is just the down payment that's required I guess it's not technically a down payment, but if you assume someone's mortgage but you have a purchase price that is over that amount, you've got to come to the table with a difference.
Extra cash, yeah.
Yeah, let's say you bought a home from somebody, they paid $400,000 for that home and they get that balance down to $300,000. But let's say you come in and you're like, yeah, we'll buy your house for $500,000. Well, you assume that $300,000 balance, but they need to be paid $200,000. Mm-hmm. So instead of you having put 20% down on a $500,000 home, which is $100,000, you got to pay double that in order to acquire that house.
Which can make it more difficult from a how much cash have you saved up to buy a house standpoint.
A lot of folks don't have that much money on hand. There's a lot of folks who aren't putting 20% down, let alone the difference between the purchase price and whatever the remaining balance is.
So. But for folks who can, for folks who have saved up more, and for people who want to go check out Roam's website, it's cool.
It's
because
worth checking out.
They're kind
Absolutely.
Of trying to match sellers and buyers. Seller might be able to make a little more. Buyer is able to get a ridiculously low rate that they don't have access to anymore in this market. And depending on how long you stay in that house, and depending on how much cash you have on hand, it could be a match made in heaven. But super, super interesting. Always fun to see some sort of tech startup trying to create an arrangement that would otherwise be almost impossible to come
play
by.
Matchmaker a little bit.
Yeah, it's like the eHarmony for homes. But Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. We got to go drink beers now with listeners. Again, Inner Voice Brewing Indicator from 4 to 8 p.m. We hope to see you there if you're in the Atlanta area. If you're not, we're going to be in New Orleans next month, so we might do one there.
And we might, yeah.
Maybe we need to do more traveling, too. We need to get out there. But that's going to be it. I hope you have a great weekend. Matt, until next time. Best friends out.
Best friends out. Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.